So I'm being really fancy today with my iPad because I can't read notes and stuff. It doesn't work for me. I'm kind of a picture person, and normally I do a slideshow, and we don't have that here, so I thought I'll just do my own personal slideshow. So if any of you want to see my pictures, you can come up here and just, there's room for maybe five of you, first five. So great to be here. I know a lot of you know me, and probably some of you don't. A lot of you know my husband John, and some of you don't. We were here for many years and moved a couple years ago to California and have been serving there in different ministry roles. John's a pastor, and I work with a mission agency, so I'm kind of a floating mission pastor, which is a very fun job. And I just have to say, we really miss you guys. We really do. We think of you every Sunday, and we really have discovered, as many who have left this congregation to serve the Lord have discovered, there's no place like home. This congregation is very special, and there's no place quite like it. The church is struggling in America, and this place, I know you've had challenges, but I just want you to know that you're doing well in the Lord. So we love coming back here. It's a refreshment for us, and just want you to know that we love you. So let me start with a prayer, and then we'll go into our scripture. Just pray with me. Lord, as we come to your word, we come with expectancy. We come, Lord, with a desire to know you more. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would glean all that you have for each one of us today. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So normally, as you've heard suggested, I tend to talk a lot, and I tell a lot of stories. And normally when I preach, it's my preaching experience is in the African Pentecostal church. So we should be out by lunch, but it'll be really exciting, and I'll shout a lot. No, not really. So there's a lot of things I had on my heart to share, and I was just asking the Lord this last week. The question is not, what do I want to share? What does the Lord want me to share? What does the Lord want us to hear today? And so he brought me back to a scripture. It's like the gift that keeps on giving for me. It's a scripture that I think maybe Jenny Rose, you brought to my attention, maybe a couple, it's been 2 years at least, that this particular portion of scripture has been coming back over and over to me. And there's so much in here that we won't be able to cover today. So I would encourage you to take it home and spend a couple years with it. But let's, no, seriously, there's that much in there. So I want to share today from 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 8. And if you would stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. This is on page 312 of the Old Testament portion in your pew Bible. So 2 Kings 6, starting with verse 8. And I'm going to fill in a couple of the names here as we go to keep track of the story. Once when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he took counsel with his officers. He said, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God, Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, "Take care not to pass this place because the Arameans are going down there." The king of Israel sent word to the place of which Elisha spoke. More than once or twice he warned such a place so that it was on the alert. The mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. He called his officers and said to them, "Now tell me who among us sides with the king of Israel?" Then one of his officers said, "No one, my lord king. It is Elisha, the prophet in Israel, who tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." So the king of Aram said, "Go and find where he is. I will send and seize him." He was told, "He's in Dothan." So he sent horses and chariots there and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When Elisha's attendant rose early in the morning and went out, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Elisha replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so Israel is at war. The Arameans are coming at him. And time again, Elisha, the prophet of Israel, is getting a download from God on what's going to happen. Now, Elisha, just a few chapters ahead of here, you may remember Elijah going off in the chariots of fire, and Elisha asking for the double portion of the anointing that was on Elijah. That was just a few chapters before. Well, things are going great because Elisha's getting all the information. And of course, the king of Aram, as anyone would be, is very perturbed. This is not okay. He's not going to win the war if somebody's giving the secrets away. So everything's going good for Israel until the king of Aram one day figures out what's going on and sends an army to surround the city where Elisha is staying. And suddenly, things get really, really personal. Have you ever felt surrounded by an enemy? Probably most of us have never woken up in the morning and gone out in our little homes and seen the Aramean army around us, but I bet a lot of us have experienced circumstances, shadows, darkness, or threats that encroach on our sense of security and our sense of peace and our sense of well-being. If you're a human being, probably you can relate on some level. And that threat or that shadow might look different for some of us, and it might look different in different seasons of our life. For some of us, financial stress and insecurity can be that looming, lurking army that's closing in, and what are we going to do? For others of us, it might be a broken relationship, or in the case of John and I, we've had some very intense relationships in Fairfield with people really kind of coming at us. It's hard to believe, but sometimes we have, I know, we're great people. It's true. John's more humble than me. But, you know, sometimes there, no matter how nice you are, the people don't like you sometimes. And that happens to us. And sometimes maybe we have a shadow from our past that's sort of lurking in the back corners of our thoughts. Maybe sometimes it's something right in front of our face today. And in my case, I'm an expert at something one of my friends calls future tripping. I am really good at thinking of something that might happen bad in the future. And if any of you want to know about how to do that, I'll be doing a seminar later. I'm an expert. But, you know, sometimes there's always things in our lives where we don't have peace. Raise your hand, I mean, if you want to. Raise your hand if you just feel totally settled and at peace today. Maybe some of you do. And bless God if that's true. But I think most of us at different times of our lives have situations that surround us that threaten that sense of rest and that sense of peace. And so I wonder for you today, when we think about those things, do you feel more like Elisha in this story, or do you feel more like the servant? When something comes at you, do you feel like, I see what God's doing? Despite the circumstances, I can see real clearly. Or are you like the servant who maybe doesn't quite have the eyes for that? Well, for me, true confessions, you already know I'm amazing, but this is true, what I'm going to tell you. The last 2 years have been really hard for us. And I won't go into a lot of the details, but we've had a lot of transition. John and I moved to California at a church that's really struggling, and a family that has had lots of health issues and other issues, divorces in our family, bike accidents. One thing after the other has been encroaching on our sense of security. And John is Elisha in our little family, and I am the servant. I have been freaking out for 2 years. I'm so tired. There have been so many things that have gotten up close and personal in our lives, and I have found myself looking right here at the thing that's coming at me today. Is it a church issue? Is my mom calling to tell me something else that's going wrong? Is my sister calling? Is my dad calling? Is it the church again? Oh no, what are we gonna do? I'm freaking out. Well, you know, when we begin to focus so up close, there's a condition. If you're an ophthalmologist, you would know that this is a condition called myopic vision. And actually, physically, I am nearsighted. That's what that means. And that's why I'm not wearing my glasses, because I've heard that the back half is kind of scary in this sanctuary. No offense, but I can't really see you guys back there. But when we begin to focus so much on the thing that's right in front of us, we begin to train our eyes to not be able to see at a distance. And so this is what's happening with Elisha's servant, and this is what's been happening with me. I'm so focused on the crisis at hand that I have lost a bit of vision to see maybe what God is doing behind the scenes. Can you relate to that? I can. It's my life. Well, both of the scriptures that we read today, Michelle read from Mark 8 earlier, and then 2 Kings 6, both of these scriptures talk about a restoration of vision. And there's a couple of interesting things that I've been meditating on in both of these scriptures. I think it's interesting that each scripture talks about two steps or two stages. There's two components. And I've started talking about this dynamic as double vision. Not the kind that makes you like sick to your stomach, but double vision in order to see here and now up close, that vision, and the vision that lets us see far with the eyes of faith into the eternal perspective of God. One and two, double vision. So in 2 Kings 6, the first step that we see, which I think is easy to overlook, is that there's a physical reality. The first step is the servant sees the army, the enemy army surrounding the city. He acknowledges that it's there. And step two, as Elisha prays, the servant's eyes are opened and he sees beyond. He sees the reality of God. There's an army, horses and chariots of fire, the power and the presence of God, and he sees both things. The enemy army didn't go away at that point, but he saw beyond into the eternal perspective of God. So in this story, we see that having both types of vision is important. We're not trying to just be far-sighted people. We need to see near and far. We need to see and acknowledge the reality of our lives, but also to be able to interpret that reality with the eyes of faith. There's a saying that says, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And you see kind of the person floating in the clouds. Side note, John wants to levitate someday, so you can be praying for him. But just that picture of somebody kind of floating along through life. And I think it's important to note through this story that it was important for the servant to see the earthly, to see the reality. And I think as Christians, I'll raise my hand because this is true for me, we're more compelled to kind of deny that. Reality is hard. Oh, I'm having a great day. Bless the Lord. How are you doing? Oh, fine. Praise Jesus. Well, yes, praise Jesus, but man, it's been hard. You know? Both things can be true, and I think it's important. In this story, we see how important it is for the servant to see reality, because in his vulnerability, God reveals that he's afraid. And that's important because it shows that he needs God. So sometimes when we see reality, we're able to understand our own need of God, and it's really where the rubber meets the road in faith. So jumping over to Mark 8, Jesus heals this blind man in two stages. And when I first read this story all through my childhood, I thought, how embarrassing. Jesus couldn't do it the first time. He had to try again. But this is important. The first step, the man sees, but only partially. And as men walking as trees, which is what you guys look like back there, it's like nearsighted. He restores his sight, but just up here. And then again, he lays hands on him, the saliva where the DNA can be found. Jesus' DNA is applied to the man's eyes a second time, and his vision is sharp and clear. And this story falls in the middle of this section of scripture where the disciples are with Jesus, and Jesus is doing amazing things, like feeding 4,000 people miraculously. And like 5 minutes later, the disciples are like, oh shoot, we forgot to bring bread. What are we going to do? How are we going to eat? They see Jesus, but they don't see Jesus. And so here the scripture is telling us that developing eyes of faith is a process. Jesus is walking his disciples through a process. And we begin to see a little bit more clearly and a little bit more clearly, but it's a process as we learn and grow and walk with Jesus. Well, as I've been reading these passages, one of them for the last 2 years, Mark 8, just this week, there's a couple of things, and apologies, but I think as a pastor's wife who's Presbyterian and a Presbyterian pastor's daughter, I think there's some like mandate that I have to have three points here. So I have 3 points. Sorry. Had to do it. But there's 3 things I want to just kind of lift out of these 2 scriptures as we think about, you know, how can we begin to train our eyes to see rightly and to see through the perspective of God. The first thing is ask. The first scripture, 2 Kings 6, Elisha asks, Lord, open his eyes. And in Mark 8, the blind man has friends that bring him to Jesus, and they just say, they ask, can you heal him? Just ask. So one question I would have for you is, if you feel like you're not seeing very far into God's perspective, have you asked for eyes to see? So a simple step. The second thing is to keep good company. The company you keep really matters. In the first story, the servant is with Elisha. And Elisha is primed and prepped and prepared and has the strength of faith to be able to support this young man. In the second story, the blind man wasn't looking for healing, actually. His friends or some people bring him to Jesus and they ask, can you heal him? He didn't even ask. So maybe the company we keep is kind of important. Maybe there are people in our lives who can see things that we don't see, and they can ask Jesus. I have a lot of friends pray for me for humility. I never pray that for myself. They also pray for patience. You know, we need friends. We need company to keep that is good company that will lift us up. And we'll lift us up to Jesus and ask on our behalf for our healing and for our restoration. So my question here for you is, who are the people in your life who will help you see more clearly what God is doing? And then the third thing, which is actually really a subset of the second thing, so technically it's only 2 things I'm sharing, is that part of that company we keep, part of the voice of the community is the Word of God. And that's the story of our scripture, the story of our history. Walking with God is a voice that speaks into our lives. And the Word of God is so important to help us understand who God is, what he has done, what he's going to do. Moses says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Elisha says to the servant, don't be afraid. God's bigger than anything out there. Jesus says to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. And so as we look to the Word of God, we begin to see who God is. The promises of God are laid out there. So there you go. Good job, everybody. Get perfect vision. Just do those 3 simple steps, 2.5 steps, and you'll be perfectly fine. You know, it's easier said than done. And as I've shared, I've struggled for a couple of years trying to wrestle past my nearsightedness to see the promises of God into the future. And it's not easy. And I think the point of both of these stories is that this double vision is not something we just take and can have whenever we want it. It's something that's given each time. Lord, open his eyes. The Lord does that. Jesus, heal this man. He does. It's a gift that's given, not taken. And I think that's important because in the great mystery of who God is, we don't always see what we want to see when we want to see it. I've seen a lot of amazing things around the world. I've seen people healed physically. I've seen a blind woman regain her sight. And I've heard testimonies from many other people that Jesus has touched and healed miraculously. But I've also seen people that Jesus hasn't healed, and they've asked. And I just wonder, I don't understand that, Lord. You can do it, why don't you? Because I don't see what he sees. And so we have to understand that this is a mystery of God. And also to just acknowledge that it's sometimes in those shadows, and it's sometimes with the pressure on. It's in those places that our depth and our perspective grows. And that's somehow the way that God renews our vision. So I have a hero. I have a few. But one of my heroes is Lucy Pevensie. Maybe you know her. She's the youngest daughter of the Pevensie family, English family. And if you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, you probably know Lucy. And I have a wonderful appreciation for her faith and the way that she loves Aslan, who's the Christ figure in this series. And, you know, I've always said as a child and growing up, continuing to read the stories, when I grow up, I want to be like Lucy. I want to see with those eyes of faith. I want to have the kind of trust that she has in Aslan. I want that in my relationship with Christ. I want to be brave like her and go on adventures like Lucy did. Well, there's one story that I love and I come back to many times in my life. In the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Lucy's on a ship with some other people, and she's kind of standing sort of half-mast at the fighting top. And they get into this place that they think is an island, but it's actually just darkness that they row into. And they discover that this dark place is the place where dreams come true. And at first thought, they think, wow, awesome, because I have amazing dreams. Well, then they realize, no, it's like where dreams come true. You know, like when you're running on the beach through the sand away from somebody that's trying to get you and you don't really get anywhere. That kind of dream, nightmares. It's the place where nightmares come true. And suddenly, everyone is a little concerned and a little more concerned and freaking out. And they can't get out. No matter how hard they row, they can't get away from this darkness. And finally, Lucy is, you know, beginning to shake and quiver a little bit. And she says, Aslan, if you've ever loved us, will you please come and help us now? And soon a beam of light from nowhere comes and just shines on the ship. They still can't see anything around them, but there's a beam of light on the ship. And from a distance, they see something coming towards them. And at first, it looks like a little cross, and then maybe like a kite. And then as it gets closer, they see it's an albatross. And the story says, no one else heard, but as the albatross circled the ship 3 times, it whispered in Lucy's ear, courage, dear heart. and then it leads them off into safety. And as I've prayed this week about sharing with you today, I just really felt like the Lord gave me that word for you. Courage, dear heart. Courage, dear heart. I know many of you as individuals have shadows encroaching. I know as a congregation, this has been a season that's been difficult. And no matter where you are today, where you've been, or where you're going, the Lord is saying, nevertheless, I am with you. Courage, dear heart. Courage. So if you take nothing else away today, I just ask that you would take that promise of God with you, that he is with you at all times. And the biggest exclamation point we're about to remember in just a few minutes right here at the communion table, it's the exclamation on the voice of God that says, I am with you. I am with you, exclamation point. Here at the table, we know that God came down, walked the earth so that he could be the God, the only God in all of the universe, in all of history, that is with the people. God is with us. Courage, dear heart. Courage. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the God who is with us. Wherever our vision of you is obscured, we ask for your healing touch. Lord, please open our eyes that we may see. Strengthen us to walk courageously into the dark places of our lives and of this world, that our lives would bear witness to your light, your love, your hope, your power, and your presence with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.